This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now open, we're off, we're running. And I want to see how deep the red ink is flowing. Right from the get-go, we're down, what is that, 1,000 points on the Dow. That's 2.7%. Let's talk percentages here. That's what we have to watch. The vast majority of the Dow 30 are in the red. They're being sold aggressively. We got three winners. That's it.
But back to points, the Dow has not been down 1,000 points since September of 2022.
Okay, going back there. S&P 500 also sharply lower. Look at the percentage points here. Down 4%, wow. A much greater loss. Now, the S&P 500 is a broad-based indicator, which indicates they're selling in a broad base of stocks. Unlike the Dow, which is concentrated in 30, and they were down 2.5%, 2.8%, the S&P is down 4%. Let's get to the NASDAQ, because this really is all about big tech.
This is history.
Coming out.
History in the making.
Of what some would call history in the making.
Scary. Don't say that.
We have never been down 1,000 points ever. Not even.
Well, there's Fox Business's Stuart Varney and Lauren Simonetti talking about today. This is right now. This is what we are watching. Historically speaking, I'm peeking at the Dow right now. It's down 925 points. And it's going to fluctuate today. I feel like I've watched days like this happen where it ends up in the green. You panic all day long and then it ends up in the green. Okay. What is happening right now in our country, in our economy? How does it compare to the global economy? That is the key point that we continuously hear from the Biden-Harris, or should I say Harris-Biden administration, is that, you know what? It doesn't really matter what we're doing in the context of just us. It's that it's better here than it is anywhere else. Last night, while I was watching the news, getting ready for bed, or reading the news, I should say, and I was looking at the markets in Japan and South Korea, and it was really pushing the idea that today was going to be some kind of day in our market system. And so far, that has been the case. We are talking once again, very much so in a top headline kind of way, about recession. We got a jobs report last week. That was not good. We got the Fed met. They held rates. We have a recession we have inflation that continues to march on and make it difficult for you as a hardworking American taxpaying citizen, not just to make ends meet, but you have every right to want to get ahead. You have every right in the United States of America to want to work your butt off and enjoy the fruits of those labors. Even the phrase get ahead, I mean, when you think about that for a second and you put it into the context of what we hear from Republicans running for office and what we hear for Democrats running for office, and then you apply not just what they say when they're trying to get your vote, but you apply that to what they do when they get into office. Are you even allowed to get ahead in the Biden-Harris way of thinking about this country? Because if you get ahead, then that means that some people get left behind. If you're leading the pack, if your success has you a stretch ahead of the people who haven't worked as hard in this country, is that okay in the Harris-Biden America? Because I don't think it is. We hear a lot about equity. We hear some about equality, but they're usually used interchangeably. And often when you hear the people on the left talking about equality, what they're really talking about is equity. Kamala Harris even recently said that the idea is that we all end up in the same place. And that is as anti-American as it gets. People need to understand the idea that we should all start from the same place. It's different to say that we should all have the same starting line, but who finishes first and who finishes last? That's really up to us. In the world that we hear politicians talking about, especially when it comes to economic access and opportunity, there are people who do start that race at a disadvantage. I think you and I should be able to recognize that there are people who are disadvantaged in the race. And when those disadvantages are identifiable, there are things that we can do collectively to help even out the opportunity. But you cannot ever even out the outcome of that race without the government taking full ownership of the production and of the success, because they have to dole it out to make sure that everybody has the same thing. There's a word for that. It's ruined nations. Watching the news right now is burdensome. I bet you feel that. I bet when you tune into this show, I mean, obviously you're listening right now, but when you tune into this show, if you're getting in your car right now from on your lunch break from work, you have choices. You can tune into 97.1 and hear about what's the latest thing going on with the market, with the economy. Steve Moore, who is an advisor to Donald Trump, he is incredibly connected and influential in the world of economics, is going to be with us at the beginning of the 1 o'clock hour. Stewie, my friend Stewie. Yes, he runs Stewart's American Mortgage and is a partner with us here on the show, but he is also very plugged in, obviously, with the economy, with the Fed holding rates last week, what that means for home buying. But it's much broader than that. We've got our show full of experts when it comes to this issue. I am not an expert. I'm a 40-year-old, dual income, raising four kids in the suburbs with a mortgage, and I'm trying to figure out why it's so gosh darn difficult right now to get ahead the way I want to get ahead. Do you feel that? Do you feel the strain and the stress of this moment in time, August 5th in the 2024 election year, and you're sitting here going, you know what, I am working my butt off. I am trying really hard to do my part, to meet my obligations, and yes, to in fact get ahead. It's incredibly clear at this moment in time that you have put yourself at a fork in the road where you get to choose one of two things. You can choose the path on the right that tries to clear the runway for you so that you can run as far and as fast as you can. Or you can choose the option on the left, which will say, here's where you're going to get to, and here's how you're going to get it, and here's what you're not going to do, and here's what you're going to have to do. They want to lay it all out for you. And you might think for a second, you might look at that left side of that fork in the road and think, well, that's a guaranteed end. I only have to do so much and I'm going to get the basics that I need. They're going to provide me with these things. You got to fund your way. You got to do the work to get to the end, and you will be stopped when you reach the point with which the people on the left say, you've done enough. That's enough for you. You're going to keep working, but you're going to be walking in place right now. And the fruits of your labor, they're not going to get you twice the distance ahead of where you are right now. We're going to take that work and we're going to give it to the people who are just deciding to show up to the starting line. And you're looking over your shoulder. You can barely see the starting line. And you're saying to yourself, well, what do you mean? I got to keep working my tail off for those people back there. They didn't even show up till right now to participate. Well, that's part of the deal. That's part of the game. You wanted security? Guess what? You can have it. It'll just cost your freedoms. Now, on the right side of that fork in the road, the options that you have on the right side, there is no guarantee of outcome. There's no guarantee of success at all. In fact, you might sprint off taking forward and find out that you get knocked right back to the finish line through some varying degree of failure. But when you get back to that starting line, you're going to have the opportunity to sprint again. And the people on the right side of that fork in the road are going to try to move the distractions away from your ability to achieve that success. Move the people with clipboards along the way who are asking you questions that you must answer. And if you get them wrong, man, you go right back to go. Do not pass go. It's just like the entire idea of being able to succeed in the United States of America is on you to achieve. And if your prosperity looks excessive to somebody else, that doesn't matter. If you want to live a life where you have excessive wealth, it's up to you to do the right thing with that or not. People can think of you whatever you choose to think of. You're going to pay your taxes. You're going to participate in the system. Chances are you're going to employ a heck of a lot of people along the way and give those individuals the opportunity to start at square one at the beginning of that race. And then they can run as fast as they can and as far as they can. Because you ran the race and figured out how to succeed. You create a new starting line for people. Move over to the left and you've got a starting line and a finish line already dictated out. It's as good as you can do. It's as best as you can do. There are no medals. Because the idea is that you just do this much work and you will get this much success. And any other excess work that you have will be benefited for other people. Do they have to participate in the race? Not entirely. They don't even have to finish it. It's very difficult in a current climate politically right now to stay focused on the issues that are really going to matter to you. And what I hear a lot of people in the YouTube chat saying today, and seen a lot of people on Twitter saying here in the last 24 hours, I'm worried about the future for my children and for my grandchildren. Generally speaking, that is a two-pronged concern: economic security and actual physical safety. Paying attention to the news right now, in the Harris-Biden administration, you do not have safety or security in either one of those avenues. You have fears and you have worries and you have concerns and possibly anger. When you look at the economy, when you look at your retirement accounts, when you look at your savings account, when you get your credit card bill, when you're trying to figure out how to provide the things for your family that you used to be able to provide, you know, with some ease and stick aside a little bit in the savings account, you can't do that anymore. And you're wondering to yourself, how the heck did this happen? Or maybe you know. And then you look at the global stage and you realize that there is an incredibly hot war brewing in the Middle East. And there's war in Ukraine and Russia. And China is sending armaments. And North Korea is partnering with China and Iran and supporting Russia. And Israel is sitting there asking itself, where are our allies and how strong of an allyship do we have with them? These are huge questions. These are the biggest questions we ask ourselves about leaving a better America for our children and our grandchildren. We don't know what's going to happen on Tuesday. Confidence is waning. And we have the hope of an election coming in November. We have the ability in 92 days to do something about this. That should give you hope. But if it gives you some worrisome hope, the idea that hope is lurking in the background, but it's there, your participation in the system right now will move us towards a greater understanding of what that hope will look like. And it starts with truth. It starts with honesty. You cannot turn on the television or the radio and know that you're getting straight honesty and straight truth. I'm here to digest everything I read, everything I watch, everything I hear, and I'm just giving you my look at it. But I question every day, what is true? What is real? We have a dishonest media that is invested more in the protection of a political party than they are in exposing truth. Republicans or Democrats, be damned. Real actual truth so that you can be the ultimate decision maker, so that you can consume the truth and think of it whatever you might. They can't trust you with that. So it gets laundered through a slant, through an avenue of thinking that makes sure that at the end you get it right because they did the thinking for you. And then they work to instill fear, if not even anger, in you so that you vote emotionally, not through your senses, not through your objective assessment of what is actual, real, and true. It is going to be an incredibly difficult task. For the next 92 days, but it's one that we cannot show up for. It's one that we cannot avoid. It's time to be present, and it's time to be, some might say, happy warriors. People who understand that while it is likely that fear is creeping in, or that anger is creeping in, or that apathy is creeping in, it stresses me out. I don't want to pay attention to it. I don't want to know anything about it. They're all crooks. You can say all these things and feel all these feelings. I feel them too from time to time. But that does not end in changing the system. The only way that we change the system is to turn it on its head and put the people back on top. And you're the people. You're the individual that can make a difference. Get involved. Pay attention. Find hope in the things that truly matter and push it into the lesser things that matter, like the politics. Care about your family. Go to church or go to worship. Be involved in your community. Make somebody smile because you helped them in a way that nobody will ever know. That's contagious. Let's take a quick break. We've got a big election happening here in the state of Missouri tomorrow. Attorney General Andrew Bailey is going to be on with us when we come back. Active as always, and grateful to talk to him about his latest endeavors here in the state of Missouri on behalf of Missourians. Let's talk to Andrew Bailey when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration.
Well, Joe Biden there, that's 2020 Joe Biden saying, nope, not another foot of wall. Very anti-wall that Joe Biden is. The Biden-Harris administration not interested in those vanity projects. that would be, you know, securing our actual southern border, very much so opposed to building that wall. I want to get to our next guest. Excited to have with us the Attorney General for the state of Missouri, Andrew Bailey. Welcome back to the show. It's great to have you back here.
Danny, thank you so much for having me on.
I'm reading this. You're welcome. I'm reading this press release from your office, and it's talking about how this you've obtained a court order that now blocks Joe Biden from illegally diverting funds away from building the border wall. What did your office do to pursue this action, and what is the result here? This is August of 2024. What is this development?
Well, this is a huge win for the safety, security, and sovereignty of not only the United States of America, but for all Missourians. Missouri is a border state because of the Biden invasion overseen by border czar Kamala Harris. More than 1,500 deaths from fentanyl in the state of Missouri in 1 year. More than 1,100 reported incidences of human trafficking. Those are harms directly attributable to border czar Kamala Harris's refusal to do her job at the southern border, and that the open sign that Joe Biden hung at the southern border when he abandoned President Trump's policies and then perverted the law to create new visa programs never authorized by Congress. Eric Schmidt filed suit. I inherited that suit. We pushed it forward. We went to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals and won, and now we have a judgment ordering the federal government to finish building President Trump's border wall. Huge win for the safety and sovereignty of the people of the United States of America.
You mentioned Eric Schmidt in this. You've picked up from where Eric Schmidt went. He would go very hard on pushing back on the Biden-Harris administration, and you've done that also. But I'm curious about your thoughts on the roles of attorneys general across the state when you have an administration like the Biden-Harris administration that uses the federal justice system at their whim. And we see a lot of executive orders that Joe Biden is engaged in that have made this border very unsafe. He basically undid anything Donald Trump did on the border. That was his border policy. What roles do attorneys general across the country have in keeping a federal government like the Biden-Harris government in check?
Well, I think if the last few years have proven anything, it's that conservative attorneys general can band together to fight and be the vanguard against this rise in unconstitutional, illegal behavior from the chief executive and his army of federal bureaucrats. We've got more than 50 lawsuits pending right now that Missouri has filed against the federal government. It's about protecting separation of power and limiting the role of the executive branch of the federal government and protecting state sovereignty and our individual liberties. I believe that the Constitution exists to protect us from the government, and the government exists to protect our rights, and the rights enumerated in the Constitution come from God, not man. And so it offends our very sense of who we are as an American people when we have an unconstitutional president who's weaponizing the government to attack our individual rights. And that's why it's so important to have attorneys general who are battle-hardened and willing to fight these fights and file these lawsuits and take them all the way.
We're speaking with the Attorney General of the state of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, right now. I mean, I hear it's really the main focus of when we're watching people campaign to become the president of the United States, but it's handled by Democrats up and down the ticket. The idea that democracy is near its end should Republicans continue to win offices or expand their ability to win offices. When you hear people say that democracy is at stake, what do you hear in your mind from Democrats who speak that so frequently?
Hypocritical lies. I mean, this is the party who did the ultimate bait and switch by removing the presidential candidate that people in states across America and either primaried or caucused for. Thousands and thousands and thousands of votes by Democrats have been cast because they want to see Joe Biden at the top of the ticket on the Democratic side. And then in the dark of night, they switch out the candidates, and now it's Kamala Harris, and she's just anointed without any democratic process at all. I would also point out that the left is committed to lawfare in all of its forms. It's not only illicit witch hunt prosecutions of Republicans, but it's censorship on big tech to silence our voices. It's flooding this country with illegal aliens and trying to pack the polling places with criminal aliens who have no lawful right to vote in this country. It's buying off a key demographic with quote-unquote student loan debt cancellation that the Supreme Court has already rejected. I mean, these are all the tools in the left's toolbox that are undermining democracy and undermining the rule of law. So don't be fooled by their hypocritical lies.
Andrew Bailey with us right now, the Attorney General for the state of Missouri. I want to shift topics here a little bit. I'm reading from a tweet from yours at the end of last week. I've launched an investigation into Lifetime Fitness for allowing a biological male into women's locker rooms. The gym faces potential criminal and civil liability for putting Missouri's women and girls in harm's way. I'm issuing subpoenas. I have seen and heard from so many people who actually go to this Lifetime Fitness, and Mr. Bailey, they're not political people. They are people who just go there to work out, and they would never speak publicly about politics in any way. I don't even know that they're Republicans, and they don't want to go back to this gym because the gym has clearly prioritized a social cultural issue over what they believe is the safety of the women and the girls and their families. What's the next step here with this Lifetime Fitness?
Well, we're going to hold the wrongdoers accountable. Look, one of two things happened. And first of all, let me say this. I have personally prosecuted the case against a convicted sex offender at a truck stop who was in a women's restroom and disguised his voice to be female in order to perp on women. He was trying to create new victims. And the women who came in and out of that restroom became victims. Luckily, police intercepted him and arrested him. And I prosecuted him before he could commit another sexual assault. But that was his desired intent and objective. And so the law in the state of Missouri is, men aren't allowed in women's restrooms. That's a trespass. So either there's a criminal offense occurring, or Lifetime Gym gave this individual permission, gave this man permission to be in a women's restroom, in which case, did the gym notify the female customers to let men in their locker rooms and restrooms? Because if not, that's a consumer protection issue that we will also pursue. And I think people absolutely should vote with their pocketbooks. At the end of the day, we've seen that with Bud Light. We saw that with Target. When you have corporations that pick the wrong side in these culture wars, they need to be held accountable. And the best way to do that is in the marketplace. But we're going to use the law to expose this for what it is. This is absurd. It is unhealthy to deny objective reality. And at the end of the day, gender is objective reality. When I say it's unhealthy, what I mean is it's not safe for men to be in women's locker rooms and restrooms in the same way that it's not safe for me to deny the law of gravity and then try to jump off a building.
That's one way of putting it. You know, I think about the way that the social cultural movement, especially surrounding gender, has evolved over maybe 10 or 15 years. It might be longer than that. Maybe I'm short-sighted in just making it a little bit around a decade. But as a female myself, I was born in the 80s. I think about the women and feminism and everything that was developing when I was a little kid in order to make it so that women could have equal opportunity in the workplace, that women could participate in sports. I played four sports in high school. It was very important to the development of who I am today. It seems like women have fought for so many positions that now, if you're a female and you're going to Lifetime Fitness and there is a biological man in the locker room while I'm in there with my daughter, I mean, am I supposed to just do the, you know, the air quotes woke right thing and shut my mouth? Otherwise, I'm a hate monger. It just seems so upside down. Women are now the ones who have to keep their mouth shut and deal with this so that we can protect a class of people that is an incredibly small minority as well.
I think you're right. And I think there's some serious mental health issues associated with some of this behavior. And you're right. It's completely self-destructive. It's an attack on womanhood.
Yes.
I mean, look at President Biden's attempt to rewrite Title IX. Title IX for 50 years stood for the proposition that women have equal access and opportunity to not only athletic competitions, but locker rooms and gyms to be able to facilitate those competitions. And with the stroke of a pen, President Biden wanted to undo that 50-year equality for women and allow men into those spaces, which, again, is poor public policy because it's dangerous. But then secondly, it's illegal. The president doesn't get to rewrite law, but why would he want to attack women like that? So the left is completely self-destructive on this issue. And I think people are tired of it.
I am very tired of it. And I think more people are starting to speak up because they've tried, you know, most people don't want conflict and they want to try to be nice. And so they've kept quiet for a long time. But the line that's being crossed is being pushed a little bit too far into people's lack of comfort zone, and they're speaking up now and they're talking about it. You brought up mental health as it relates to this particular issue. I think there's a broad conversation that needs to be had about mental health in issues like this, but also in the issue of when we see shooters, people who pick up a gun and exact some sort of rage and they murder people. Whenever that happens, unfortunately, in this very moment right now, we don't have an issue in the last 48 hours that is making us talk about this. But you know that the next one is not too far away. When people talk about guns as the problem, mental health is always kind of down the line. It's something people use as a rebuttal. I'm curious, as the Attorney General of the state of Missouri, what would you like to see legally be done to focus in on mental health, on getting those people suffering from an unhealthy mental state the help they need, but also protect the other people affected by those from having to deal with what we're having to deal with right now?
Well, I think absolutely the state needs to step up and do more in providing mental health services and fostering an environment where both psychology and psychiatry are available to those in need. I look at our homeless population that largely addicted to controlled substances or suffering from mental health problems. And you see the rise in that homeless population that's now plaguing our cities and urban areas. You see the issue when it comes to pediatric transgender mutilation. I mean, at the end of the day, what was going on in these clinics were that the clinics were denying these children that come in with a mental health condition, quote unquote, gender dysphoria. They're confused about their gender. And rather than talking to these kids and getting them into a psychological or psychiatric program, instead, the clinics were administering dangerous chemicals, puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones that are going to forever change these kids' bodies, or referring them for irreversible surgeries. I mean, this is mutilation at its worst. It was an abomination. How dare anyone tell these kids God put them in the wrong body? And so, yeah, I think you see some really acute need for increased mental health services across these different issues.
And I think that it all starts with speaking truth. And being willing to, you said this is a biological male who's trying to find his way into a women's locker room at Lifetime Fitness. And that fact is enough to turn some people inside out. But you seem fearless in your willingness to say what you believe to be objectively true, scientifically based. That's where this all starts. And that's really something that people who don't have the legal acumen that you, of course, do, like I do not, but speaking truth, I think that that's a really, really great place to start, and it's much needed.
Well, I can't thank you enough for covering these important issues and helping shine the light of truth on this abomination and on the mental health condition that underlies so much of this self-destructive behavior, and being willing to stand up and be on the right side of the issue. And I'm just proud to live in a show me state where results matter and people see the work we're doing on these issues and are proud of it.
Andrew Bailey, we appreciate you being with us here today. We know Election Day is tomorrow. You want to make a final appeal here on the Annie Frye Show for people to participate in that important election tomorrow in the state of Missouri?
Hey, we've been fighting and winning for Missouri since I took office, between removing the source back prosecutor in the city, to shutting down the gender mutilation clinics, to winning the lawsuit, to force Biden to build the border wall. These are significant wins to protect Missourians. I want everybody to go out to the polling place tomorrow and vote Bailey, and let's bring home the win.
Thank you so much for the time today. We always love speaking with you, and good luck tomorrow.
Hey, God bless you and your listeners. Talk soon.
You as well. Bye-bye. The Attorney General for the state of Missouri, Andrew Bailey. Of course, he is running for Attorney General. His competitor, main competitor there, is Will Scharf. And I believe Will Scharf is on with us tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, he is. All right. It's going to be a big day tomorrow in Missouri. And I'm excited for all of you who get to vote tomorrow and make your selection. And again, just very envious of all of the wonderful options that you have on your Republican primary ticket. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America, when we come back, he's going to give us the Monday roundup, which is, of course, the wildest ride in the wilderness. Our YouTube poll for today: how does this news cycle make you feel? What does this news cycle make you feel? Fear? Hope? Anger or apathy? Annie Frye YouTube channel, live broadcast right there. You can go vote. Leave a comment if you so choose. We've got a lot of people weighing in on this one. Chris says 100% anger. This is why I lend half an ear to it all and live my life as full as I can to distract from it. You agree with Chris? We'll be right back.
Wiggins.
Monday Roundup.
This here's a wild.
It's the Monday Roundup. It's everything else that you need to know.
Everything.
Everything else.
In total.
You've pretty much hit the main stuff, but this is the other stuff that you need to know. The
Thanks.
First one. Yeah, you're welcome. What a twinkle in your eye when you said that.
Something new for the show.
Yeah, because I had all the main headlines, but you already got to that, so this is everything else. The Vatican has finally responded to the Olympics Last Supper controversy.
Does it matter to you? None of us are Catholic. We're all Christians. Does it matter to you when the Vatican speaks?
Yeah, it does.
Brad? Microphone.
No, it does not.
Okay.
It doesn't affect me personally, but I do think that it has an effect on the conversation and the world, especially in a situation like this. What about you?
I don't always believe in the biblical soundness of what they say, and I hesitate to be like, that's right, Vatican, only when it goes my way.
Yeah. Well, tell me if this is what you think they should have said. Their statement said, at a prestigious event where the whole world comes together to share common values, there should be no illusions ridiculing the religious convictions of many people. The freedom of expression, which is clearly not called into question here, is limited by respect for others.
What?
That's their statement.
What does that mean?
That they are, I guess, condemning in a sense. They didn't use the word condemn, but they are condemning the way that this was done at the Olympics opening ceremony.
See, if you're going to make a convoluted word salad statement like that, if anybody is going to call out something, should they believe? So that statement is saying that the Vatican thinks it was wrong for them to do what they did?
Yes.
Then make it so that it is as crystal clear as it can possibly
and
be.
And it's not really.
No. I mean, honestly, and I said this the day after it happened and I came on the air or whatever, it's either glorifying God or it's blasphemous. That's everything. I mean, when it comes to religion, it's one or the other, always. And it's a little more difficult, or I don't know what it is. For me to come on here and be a radio show, talk show host or whatever, and start talking about this, there are people listening who are like, Annie, this is not for me. This is not why I listen to you. I respect that. So we try not to overdo it, whatever. But when you're the freaking Vatican, how can you not be as clear as you? I mean, you're the one who's supposed to call out evil. If you're somebody who is representing, if you're somebody who's if you're a watcher, I'll put it that way. If you're a watcher and your job is to identify and call out evil and you take a pass on it, I mean, the Bible talks about specifically those people who are enshrined with that extra responsibility and extra consequences for missing the mark. So when the Vatican makes a statement like this, and, you know, I'm happy to hear that they're taking a stand, so to speak, but, like, there's a lot, again, go back to what I said about the Olympics afterwards. Do I think it was blasphemous? Like, yes, but I don't need to go to Paris to see people who are trying to mock God. I could go literally look out this window behind me. I could go look at a mirror myself and see that I'm myself. I'm a constant repetitive failure when it comes to glorifying God. So, I don't know if I just made all the Catholics.
Well, it's not a strong... The headline that's being reported made me click on it.
Read it one more time.
Well, the headline said, the Vatican Saturday said that the performance showed a lack of respect for others, which made me go, really? That's it?
Blame the Vatican!
Let me read the statement one more time. At a prestigious event where the whole world comes together to share common values, there should be no illusions ridiculing the religious convictions of many people.
So the Vatican is worried that they weren't inclusive enough and not the fact that they were giving the finger to God?
And they really didn't say anything
this is not even worth it.
I mean, the religious convictions of many people could be many other religions, too. The freedom of expression, which is clearly not called into question here, is limited by respect for others.
Oh, heck.
I'm just going to go ahead and play the sound there. The next one is, it's official. We don't dress up for work anymore, according to surveys. According to a YouGov poll released last month, suiting up is a thing of the past.
When was the last time you wore a suit to work, Ryan Wiggins?
To work?
Yeah, you just said it like you don't even own a suit.
No, I do own a suit. It's decent.
I bet the last time you wore a suit was to the Madison County Lincoln Day dinner when you came with me and you were super tan.
No, it wasn't. That was the second to last time. You know the last time I wore a suit?
Mm-mm.
To Brian Kilmeade's event.
I was going to say
Christmas
in December.
Yeah, no, you got a nice suit. You should wear it tomorrow.
Yeah,
okay.
You do, Ryan.
I will.
Wear your suit tomorrow.
You know what's weird is I have
a few nice suits. Your dress suit, not your swimsuit.
Oh.
Or your birthday suit.
My birthday suit. It's
no.
Not my birthday. Although Brad's is coming up, you should wear your birthday suit, buddy. No? Okay. Never mind. Suiting up is a thing of the past. 33% of men don't even own a suit anymore.
I believe that.
And it says that 22% is all that is wearing business professional clothing to work.
What?
22%.
Is all that is what?
Is all that is wearing business professional. No, I phrase it that way.
Written by the Vatican.
It was. Yeah, 22% of people have respect for others, whereas the rest don't.
Do you wear a suit to church?
No.
Do you wear jeans?
Yes.
Brad?
Yeah, I wear jeans.
What do you wear to church?
A dress.
Do you?
Yes.
Every week?
Because I respect God. You could wear a dress too. It's a complete choice of your own.
Yeah,
that's
totally
true. I don't know. I think they would let me in because they know I have a track record.
Oh, of being you.
of being me.
Of wearing a dress to church.
No.
My family dresses up. It's in the realm of possibility to wear jeans, but I want my kids to dress up to go to church.
You know what? Let me correct the record. My church, and I think probably most churches now, would absolutely open the doors to anybody wearing anything.
Just
and they'd
come.
Say, come on in.
Yeah.
Come on in. But yeah, it says 18% still wear a uniform, so that kind of falls into a different category depending on
Dirk
what you do.
Dirk says he has a wedding funeral suit. That might be what it's boiled down to. Mm-hmm.
My suit's nice though, right?
Yes, you have a very nice suit.
Thank you very much. I've never worn this.
People can tune in tomorrow because he's going to wear it.
I've never worn this. Maybe I'll wear this tomorrow. I have a captain's jacket, like a boat captain.
Wear your suit.
I've never had the occasion to wear the boat captain's jacket.
You need to wear your suit and then just walk around sales.
Oh, yeah?
And just, like, start talking shop.
Just kind of leaning on things?
Yeah.
Hey, what do you guys
If you
do?
Get, like, six clients out of this, I'm going to need to borrow your suit.
That's going to be great. I'll do it if I remember, because I probably won't. Text me tonight. Just say suit.
I am not your keeper.
Yes, you are.
I am, in fact, not.
You are. You remind me of very many important things.
I do, but that's usually after the fact.
One last quick thing. Kamala Harris has gotten the coveted Jimmy Carter endorsement.
Gosh, dang it.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to get.
It is. I thought he'd go for Trump. I thought he was MAGA.
I read the article that said that he is just trying. I don't remember how it was worded, but he basically said he's just trying to make it long enough to vote for Kamala.
That is the fact. He's been in hospice care since February of last year, 2023.
What state does he live in?
I don't know the answer to that.
If you vote in Illinois, you've got 40 days to vote. If you vote and then die, your vote counts. I can't imagine that's not the vote we're counting, especially if it's for Kamala.
Can you imagine if Illinois was like, no.
I think he's Georgia's.
We have much more integrity. Yeah, there you go. So there you go with if you're waiting to see who Carter was voting for. Now you know, and now you can get ready to vote yourself.
The news headline there is that a lot of people just found out that Jimmy Carter is still alive.
Yeah.
And 90 uppers?
99.
Good for him.
His 100th birthday is, I think, between now and the election.
I knew he was alive because Donald Trump always talks about how Jimmy Carter's got to be happy to live long enough to see that he's wasn't the worst president ever, which is a total Trump thing to say. Let's take a quick break. Let's tackle the economy in the 1 o'clock hour with Steve Moore and Stewie Rosenblum.
Wildest ride in the wilderness.
It's the Monday Roundup. It's everything else that you need to know.
Everything.
Everything else.
In total.
You've pretty much hit the main stuff, but this is the other stuff that you need to know.
Thanks.
First one. Yeah, you're welcome. What a twinkle in your eye when you said that.
Something new for the show.
Yeah, because I had all the main headlines, but you already got to that, so this is everything else. The Vatican has finally responded to the Olympics Last Supper controversy.
Does it matter to you? None of us are Catholic. We're all Christians. Does it matter to you when the Vatican speaks?
Yeah, it does.
Brad? Microphone.
No, it does not.
Okay.
It doesn't affect me personally, but I do think that it has an effect on the conversation and the world, especially in a situation like this. What about you?
I don't always believe in the biblical soundness of what they say, and I hesitate to be like, that's right, Vatican, only when it goes my way.
Yeah. Well, tell me if this is what you think they should have said. Their statement said, at a prestigious event where the whole world comes together to share common values, there should be no illusions ridiculing the religious convictions of many people. The freedom of expression, which is clearly not called into question here, is limited by respect for others.
What?
That's their statement.
What does that mean?
That they are, I guess, condemning in a sense. They didn't use the word condemn, but they are condemning the way that this was done at the Olympics opening ceremony.
See, if you're going to make a convoluted word salad statement like that, if anybody is going to call out something, should they believe? So that you're, that statement is saying that the Vatican thinks it was wrong for them to do what they did?
Yes.
Then make it so that it is as crystal clear as it can possibly
and
be.
And it's not really.
No. I mean, honestly, and I said this the day after it happened and I came on the air or whatever, it's either glorifying God or it's blasphemous. That's everything. I mean, yeah. It when it comes to religion, that's it's one or the other, always. And it's a little more difficult, or I don't know if it's, I don't know what it is. For me to come on here and be a radio show, talk show host or whatever, and start talking about this, there are people listening who are like, Annie, this is not for me. This is not why I listen to you. I respect that. So we try not to overdo it, whatever. But when you're the freaking Vatican, how can you not be as clear as you? I mean, you're the one who's supposed to call out evil. If you're somebody who is representing, if you're somebody who's if you're a watcher, I'll put it that way. If you're a watcher and your job is to identify and call out evil and you take a pass on it, I mean, the Bible talks about specifically those people who are enshrined with that extra responsibility and extra consequences for missing the mark. So when the Vatican makes a statement like this, and, you know, I'm happy to hear that they're taking a stand, so to speak, but like there's a lot, again, go back to what I said about the Olympics afterwards. Do I think it was blasphemous? Like, yes, but I don't need to go to Paris to see people who are trying to mock God. I could go literally look out this window behind me. I could go look at a mirror myself and see that I'm myself. I'm a constant repetitive failure when it comes to glorifying God. So I don't know if I just made all the Catholics.
Well, it's not a strong... The headline that's being reported made me click on
it. Read it one more time.
Well, the headline said the Vatican Saturday said that the performance showed a lack of respect for others, which made me go, really? That's it?
Blame the Vatican!
Let me read the statement one more time. At a prestigious event where the whole world comes together to share common values, there should be no illusions ridiculing the religious convictions of many people.
So the Vatican is worried that they weren't inclusive enough and not the fact that they were giving the finger to God?
And they really didn't say anything
this is not even worth it.
I mean, the religious convictions of many people could be many other religions, too. The freedom of expression, which is clearly not called into question here, is limited by respect for others.
Oh, heck.
I'm just going to go ahead and play the sound there. The next one is, it's official. We don't dress up for work anymore, according to surveys. According to a YouGov poll released last month, suiting up is a thing of the past.
When was the last time you wore a suit to work, Ryan Wiggins?
To work?
Yeah, you just said it like you don't even own a suit.
No, I do own a suit. It's decent.
I bet the last time you wore a suit was to the Madison County Lincoln Day dinner when you came with me and you were super tan.
No, it wasn't. That was the second to last time. You know the last time I wore a suit?
Mm-mm.
To Brian Kilmeade's event.
I was going to say
Christmas
in December.
Yeah, no, you got a nice suit. You should wear it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You do, Ryan.
I will.
Wear your suit tomorrow.
You know what's weird is I have
your
few nice suits.
Your dress suit, not your swimsuit.
Oh.
Or your birthday suit.
My birthday suit.
No.
It's not my birthday. Although Brad's is coming up, you should wear your birthday suit, buddy. No? Okay. Never mind. Suiting up is a thing of the past. 33% of men don't even own a suit anymore.
I believe that.
And it says that 22% is all that is wearing business professional clothing to work.
What?
22%.
Is all that is what?
Is all that is wearing business professional. No, I phrased
it
that way.
Written by the Vatican. It was.
This, 22% of people have respect for others, whereas the rest don't.
Do you wear a suit to church?
No.
Do you wear jeans?
Yes.
Brad?
Yeah, I wear jeans.
What do you wear to church?
A dress.
Do you?
Yes.
Every week?
Because I respect God. You could wear a dress too. It's a complete choice of your own.
Yeah, that's totally true. I don't know. I think they would let me in because they know I have a track record.
Oh, of being you.
Of being me.
Of wearing a dress to church.
No.
My family dresses up. It's in the realm of possibility to wear jeans, but I want my kids to dress up to go to church.
You know what? Let me correct the record. My church, and I think probably most churches now, would absolutely open the doors to anybody wearing anything.
Just
and they'd
come.
Say, come on in.
Yeah.
Come on in. But yeah, it says 18% still wear a uniform, so that kind of falls into a different category depending on
Dirk
what you do.
Dirk says he has a wedding funeral suit. That might be what it's boiled down to.
My suit's nice though, right?
Yes, you have a very nice suit.
Thank you very much. I've never worn this.
People can tune in tomorrow because he's going to wear it.
I've never worn this. Maybe I'll wear this tomorrow. I have a captain's jacket, like a boat captain.
Wear your suit.
I've never had an occasion to wear the boat captain's jacket.
You need to wear your suit and then just walk around sales.
Oh, yeah?
And just, like, start talking shop.
Just kind of leaning on things?
Yeah.
Hey, what do you guys
If you
do?
Get, like, six clients out of this, I'm going to need to borrow your suit.
That's going to be great. I'll do it if I remember, because I probably won't. Text me tonight. Just say suit.
I am not your keeper.
Yes, you are.
I am, in fact, not.
You are. You remind me of very many important things.
I do, but that's usually after the fact.
One last quick thing. Kamala Harris has gotten the coveted Jimmy Carter endorsement.
Gosh, dang it.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to get.
It is. I thought he'd go for Trump. I thought he was MAGA.
I read the article that said that he is just trying. I don't remember how it was worded, but he basically said he's just trying to make it long enough to vote for Kamala.
That is the fact. He's been in hospice care since February of last year, 2023.
What state does he live in?
I don't know the answer to that.
If you vote in Illinois, you've got 40 days to vote. If you vote and then die, your vote counts. I can't imagine that's not the vote we're counting, especially if it's for Kamala.
Can you imagine if Illinois was like, no.
I think he's Georgia's.
We have much more integrity. Yeah, there you go. So there you go with if you were waiting to see who Carter was voting for. Now you know, and now you can get ready to vote yourself.
The news headline there is that a lot of people just found out that Jimmy Carter is still alive.
Yeah.
And 90 uppers?
99.
Good for him.
His 100th birthday is, I think between now
alive.
And the election.
I knew he was alive because Donald Trump always talks about how Jimmy Carter's got to be happy to live long enough to see that he's wasn't the worst president ever, which is a total Trump thing to say. Let's take a quick break. Let's tackle the economy. In the 1 o'clock hour with Steve Moore and Stewie Rosenblum.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.